line item. It's a word item.
Basically legislative.
Yeah. Parasol.
Wow.
Committee on Environment and Natural Resources will come to order. Just FYI, Senate File 225 was withdrawn from today's agenda by the author. And so the only item on the agenda is Senate File 383. Senator Olsen, while we are waiting for a quorum, we can begin the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I have a PowerPoint, so this is probably an appropriate time to do that.
Very good.
I'm here today on Senate File 383, which has to do with yard waste bags for going to a composable, biodegradable compost bag. So I'll start my PowerPoint now. So basically, we're starting with the question about why compost. Composting reduces carbon emissions. It creates a longer life for Minnesota solid waste landfills. It's the fastest way to make new soil. Minnesota's building or budding bioplastics industry. It'll help grow that industry, and then we can save Minnesotans money while they reduce the output of their garbage. The MCAG report that a 15% composting rate for the state of Minnesota would reduce 643,000 tons of CO2 equivalent. So this reduces potential for the creation of methane, which is 20 times more potent than CO2. It meets all the state solid waste goals. State policy has been to reduce land disposal of municipal solid waste by more waste reduction, reuse, recycling, and composting. Non-recyclable paper and other composable organic waste makes up about one-third of our garbage. Fastest way to make new soil. It takes about 500 years to make an inch of topsoil. The U.S. loses roughly 4 billion tons a year of topsoil through erosion and wind erosion and those kinds of
factors.
Finished compost can be made within a few months and used in landscaping, erosion control, and civil engineering. Minnesota bioplastics and compost industry. Manufacturers of compostable plastics include Natural Works LLC out of Minnetonka, Nature Tech in Circle Pines, and then Core Tech, which is in White Bear in Cambridge. Compost applications like Windscapes, Inner Grove Heights, apply compost to landscape projects. Finished compost sells. Compost contamination with plastic bags does not. And that's kind of what this picture alludes to. That's kind of a mixture of compost and non-degradable plastic bags. And there are people today that will probably make points that that's not a typical composting site, but it is a problem that when there's a mixture of plastic bags in the composting material. Composting can save money. Suburban Hennepin County residents reduced garbage bills by increasing the recycling and composting food waste and non-recyclable paper. Haulers have to pay much higher fees to dump yard waste with plastic bags at yard waste facility sites just because of they have to get the plastic out. Why is the state action necessary? Thomas Friedman wrote that government set rules, rules shape markets, and markets give scale. So composting bags create greater economic value and make it more attractive for the private sector to invest and expand. This develops clusters for the bioplastics industry in Minnesota. The rationale for requiring compostable bags. Bag compost is a liability for taxpayers. Clean compost is an asset that will attract employers and investors. Retailers are looking for direction and consistency so that they can carry the bags. And then truth in labeling necessary to discourage inferior products. So the rulemaking process, we're deleting that out of the bill, so I guess we can kind of skip that one. And then frequently asked questions. If you use a rolling cart provided by the hauler, can you use that for your yard waste? No, that would be fine. The hauler empties the carts into their truck, and so that works just fine. Can I still use Kraft paper bags for yard waste? Yes, they are biodegradable bags. And then can I still use my non compostable plastic bags for leaves and grass when I take the bag to the compost site myself. Certainly, as long as you take it out of the bag and dump the bags, then it's just fine. And then, will this allow bags in garbage landfills to break down? No, this bill is just about bags delivered to compost sites, not landfills. There isn't much resource conservation value in requiring compostable bags at landfills. I think we can kind of skip those questions. We do have a couple samples that we'd like to send around of what this compost looks. First of all, the bag. The bags will be clearly marked that it's a biodegradable bag so that people, you know, don't get mixed up a regular plastic bag with a biodegradable bag. And then there is, we have two bags of compost. And if you got some flower plants in your office, you might want to give them a little shot here. Nice compost, and can you pass those around?
Senator Olstein, I kind of liked your frequently asked questions.
Okay,
would you consider going through those?
I certainly can. Isn't this required already? Well, Dakota County already has an ordinance in place requiring biodegradable bags for compostable materials. So shouldn't we focus on home composting bins? Well, Metro counties have been very aggressive at distributing home compost bins. However, many homes cannot handle the volume of leaves, grass, etc. in their home bins, especially in the fall. Will there be a bag shortage? We'll probably hear testimony today that the bag manufacturers report that they can meet the demand in the metro in time for fall. Are the compostable bags more expensive? Compostable bags are competitive with paper yard waste bags and are more expensive than regular plastic bags. However, haulers pay less to get rid of yard waste using compostable bags, and in theory, then they can pass that along to their customers. So hopefully it'd be breaking. That's it for the PowerPoint.
Okay. And your bill doesn't ban the current bags. It just says that if you're going to leave a bag of stuff at the compost site, it must be biodegradable.
Mr. Chair, no, this will be for the metropolitan area. It would be a movement to biodegradable bags for yard waste. However, if you have plastic bags, you can take them to the compost site. You'd have to dump them out. You couldn't leave them at the compost site.
So right, right.
If you got these big 60-gallon bags or something, you could bring them to the compost site.
So you're not
site.
Banning the use of non-biodegradable bags for composting. You're saying if you're going to leave a bag of compost at the compost site, that must be biodegradable.
Correct. And also, for yard waste pickup, the goal is to have people putting their bags or their leaves and their grass clippings in a biodegradable bag. So when the curbside pickup, it is in a biodegradable bag that would go to a composting site.
Okay. Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olstein, I think this is a good idea. The question I have is a kind of a technical one. What is it about the bag that makes it biodegradable?
We have a manufacturer here, and I think, Mr. Chair, if he could come up and I think it's cornstarch, but I believe that they will have a more scientific answer than that.
Senator Olstein, would it be helpful to you to adopt your author's amendment?
It would be very helpful.
Would a committee member like to move it?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the A1.
Senator Olstein will move the A1 to put the bill in the shape the author desires. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Senator Olstein, let's continue with your testimony.
Great. Briefly, I'll just mention that the amendment just passed then strikes some of the concerns of that containers, I guess it was the way it was worded, you might think that you just leave the container at the curb and they haul the container away. And so that was a misnomer. So this just kind of clarifies that language. It also addresses the, calls them plastic bags. So I guess I would like to call Bob Boyle at this time.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, you have a quick question?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, just the enforcement part here, subdivision 2, I'm looking at the Attorney General in Clause B there. A, though, concerns me a little bit. Who's going to enforce this? How do you envision that going about to be enforceable by and by who?
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, the sheriff, of course. No. it would be, I suspect it would be, in our county, for instance, outside of the metro, it would probably be the zoning administration. I suspect, I guess I would like to call Mr. Tilley up from Dakota County to answer that question.
Okay, thanks.
All right, go ahead with your witnesses, Senator.
Okay. So I have Bob Boyle from Cortex, who's a manufacturer of these biodegradable bags. If he would come forward.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Bob Boyle, and I'm with Cortex, who's a manufacturer of compostable bags as well as a lot of other products, with a headquarters in White Bear Township and production facility in Cambridge. I believe the question was asked, what makes the bags biodegradable? And there's a couple ways of answering the question, but there are a variety of materials that are naturally derived. A good example of that would be PLA, which is a corn-derived plastic that's made in Blair, Nebraska, from NatureWorks in Minnetonka. That resin is made from corn alcohol that's made into a plastic. So that's one way of going about it, is using natural materials that are inherently consumable by microorganisms. The other category is going to be entirely synthetic polymers, where a lot of those are going to be polyester materials. Those are created basically specifically for the composting industry. So a plastic is just basically a chain of carbon. And what they do with that chain of carbon when polymers created is put little weak spots in the polymer chain that microorganisms, enzymes, and other natural occurring organisms that are in finished compost and in materials that are natural and degrading will attack that polymer chain and break it into smaller parts. So a traditional plastic, a regular garbage bag, has a really high molecular weight, so it's a really long polymer chain, and natural organisms don't view that as a food source. So you put an apple core in a composting environment, the bugs eat it. You take a regular plastic, it's not identified as a food source, so they don't. With these new plastics, they're sometimes synthetic and created to look like food source for microorganisms. The standards that are mentioned in the bill, the ASTM 6400, would require the plastics to go through rigorous testing that shows that they're bioassimilated. So this is not a plastic that you leave in the sunlight and it breaks apart. It's a plastic that is attacked by microorganisms, consumed, broken down, and carbon dioxide and water are released. So it's a natural breakdown, and that's different than plastics that use an additive technology.
All right, next witness, is there a question for the witness? Senator Scogin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Doyle, is it?
Boyle.
Boyle. How many companies in Minnesota make compostable plastic D6400?
I believe there are four manufacturers in Minnesota alone, which is actually pretty amazing, showing a lot of the leadership of Minnesota companies investing in the green economy. You have Cortex, which is a manufacturer that I work with. There's NatureTech, which is part of Northern Technologies. That's the Circle Pines. NatureWorks, which is a division of Cargill, creates a polymer, a raw material. Then you have probably a dozen or so distributors that are sometimes reworking the products. So in many cases, they're having other contract manufacturers in Minnesota extrude the plastics.
Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Boyle, is it?
Yes.
Yes. What is the difference in cost between your biodegradable bags and other competitive bags that are not biodegradable?
That's a very common question, and I wish there was a straight answer. But the reality is how you and I buy our trash bags now will vary. So if you looked at the cost of the plastics themselves in the raw state as a plastic pellet, the certified biodegradable would probably be about three times more per pound. But it gets a little more complicated, because when you and I go into the grocery store or the Walmart or wherever we buy our trash bags, we don't buy them per pound. We buy a retail pack that can vary from 10 cents a bag on up to a dollar a bag now. So if you look at what consumers are actually paying for biodegradable bags, City of Hutchinson went out to public bid because the city provides the compostable bags. It was 13 cents, a little over 13 cents for a 2-foot by 3-foot bag. And if you compare that to what you go to the grocery store and pay, it's actually probably lower for a compostable bag than if you and I went to the store and wanted to buy a yard bag. Although I can't say that they're always cheaper. And I've heard a lot of kind of rules of thumb that they're between about 50 cents and a dollar a bag on the store shelf. Our bags are available retail across Canada, and the cost issues never come up. Because they're used, they're a convenience for the end users, and by and large, even full communities, City of San Francisco buys the bags because it's lower cost to use a compostable bag than to not use it. You get higher participation rates and less yuck factor.
Thank you.
Okay. That's all. We can move on to the next witness.
I would like to bring up Mr. Tilley. And I'm hoping he can address the penalty phase.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barry Tilley, and I'm here representing the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. But I also have represented Dakota County for several years and can answer some of the Dakota-specific questions. In the packet that Senator Osteen passed out is the second to last page is the legislative program of the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. And you'll see in the arrows at the bottom the condition on compostable garbage or yard waste bags. The Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board is a joint powers board made up of 6 of the 7 metro counties. And the board administers most of the solid waste laws for the PCA within the metro area. We run quite a few of the programs. We do lots of demonstration programs, many of which have dealt with composting food waste, which is a big component of what's going to landfills now. The coordinating board sees its role as reducing what is going to landfills and putting it into better use. We sponsored the e-waste recycling bill. We've sponsored the paid stewardship project that this committee and the legislature passed last year and was unfortunately vetoed by the governor, but we'll be back with that shortly here. But our whole role is to make sure the stuff is reused, recycled, and not thrown away. Yard waste that is put in the plastic bags makes a product that is hard to market. You saw the bin that Senator Osteen sent around. People don't want to buy that. And yes, it's always used someplace, but it's not put to the best use. And so to try to get our goal of reusing this, put the highest value on it, when the product that you end up with has a higher value, the cost of picking up and dealing with it goes down. And then, you know, that's just natural economics. And so we're hopeful that we'll get a better product out of the waste stream when the plastic bags that are there now go away. So that's basically why we're supporting it.
But this bill only does not deal with landfills, what goes into landfills. This is just what goes into a composting site and needs to degrade.
That's correct.
By its very definition.
Right. Yard waste in the metro area has been banned from landfills for at least 15 years, maybe more. And Dakota County is the only county that has a mixed municipal solid waste landfill in the metro area. We have 2 of them. All the other MSW landfills are outside the 7th County metro area. And we've always been quite concerned about maintaining using what capacity it is at the existing landfills as best we can, so you don't have to site more. Landfills are a very necessary part of our solid waste system, but nobody wants a landfill for a neighbor.
Yeah.
So our goal is to make the existing landfills we have last a long, long time.
Questions for the witness? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yeah, just thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to go back to my original question, the enforcement part of this, how does that work?
Mr. Tilley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, enforcement, basically, it's sort of like in Dakota County, we've had a ban on plastic yard waste bags for probably 15 years. The haulers are cops, so to speak, but the haulers won't pick it up if you put your yard waste in a plastic bag. So it's not as onerous as you might think. We don't have cops running around writing tickets or anything like that. The bulk of the bags that are used in Dakota County are the craft bags. As I drive back and forth to the Capitol in the spring and the fall, you can see piles of them alongside the road. I truly cannot remember a complaint. At the time this went into effect several years ago, our commissioners were amazed that they didn't get complaints. They expected to get a lot of feedback. They got hardly any way back at the start of the program. You know, people want to do the right thing, by and large. That's what we found. And yes, the craft bags cost a little bit more than the roll you pull off the bags you pull off the roll. But very truly, we have not heard a lot of complaints.
Mr. Chair, this does go to judiciary, and I...
What's your amendment?
Oh, I struck the rulemaking. Thank you.
The penalties.
It does have another stop, though, and we will get a definite answer. I got sidetracked a little bit with the food waste. I thought, man, how's that going to work? So that's not a part of this bill, but I did not follow up that much on the civil penalty. So.
All right, next witness.
We have... Marcus, who I can't pronounce his last name, from Carver County.
Yosvia. Is the way Cole's pronounced.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, Mr. Chair, member of the committee. My name is Marcus Zabindin. I work for Carver County Environmental Services.
And could we get the correct spelling of your last name?
Sure. It's Z like a zebra, B as in boy, I-N-D-E-N.
Zabindin.
Zabindin.
Thank you.
Zabindin.
As I had mentioned, I work for Carver County Environmental Services. As part of my duties at the county, I manage the compost operations, both the county-operated ones. I also inspect and enforce. And I go to one of your questions that was brought up earlier. We've done some of the enforcement. Maybe the county environmental service department do inspections of the yard waste sites, and they would, I guess, do enforcement action if they were plastic bags found in the piles. The Carver County, we have been recognized as a leader in organics by the Recycling Association of Minnesota, and most recently won the 2009 Governor's Award for our organics projects. With my 18 years of experience, I have seen many of the negative effects that plastic bags have on composting processes. For example, there are two private sites in Carver County that were forced to close because of the litter produced by plastic bags. In addition, we've received numerous complaints from farmers that have land-applied compost with plastic shards in them, and that these also produce a litter problem, and they stay there for a number of years. So things have been land-applied 5 years ago with plastic in them, that they're still there, and we still have complaints about those. I would like to provide some comments, however, regarding the proposed legislation. It's an established fact that in composting industry, that no system can produce 100% separation of plastic bags once they're introduced into the system. They have to be eliminated at the source. Plastic bags degrade the quality of compost and severely limit the potential markets, and in some cases make it non-marketable at all. Regarding the cost of the bag, in Carver County, doing a little survey of the plastic hefty lawn bags, just a typical bag you'd find, range from 34 cents to 62 cents a bag. By some of the biodegradable bags found in Carver County, they sell for 65 cents. And the craft bags sell between 50 to 69 cents per bag. This type of legislation is not new. Many communities throughout the United States are realizing the benefits of a yard waste system without plastic bags. For example, some of the cities on the West Coast, such as San Francisco and Alameda County, Seattle and King County, in the Midwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Lawrence, Kansas, and in the East Coast, Toronto or even Boston have restrictions on use of plastic bags. I guess those are just some comments. I'd entertain any questions you might have.
Questions for the witness. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe we have Pierre Willett from the city of Minneapolis.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pierre Willett with the city of Minneapolis. I'll just say a few things. Generally, we're very supportive of the concepts and the merits behind this particular bill. However, we have some concerns I want to share with you. You know, Minneapolis has a long history of being good recyclers and good environmental stewards. Our elected officials are green people, and they like to have us pursuing new and different things. We've been a leader in recycling and a leader in e-waste and other things. However, we have just a few small problems, particularly from an operational standpoint. The city of Minneapolis currently uses non-compostable plastic bags now, and they're collected and then taken to, debagged, and then taken to a recycling, a composting area. Now, I've been told by the house author that if as long as you are debagging off-site, then that might be okay, which might solve one of our problems. However, the city is currently moving toward a cart for all of its compost. That would be compost and organics. And if you understand, to have 120,000 households, making a switch like that, just even educating all the households about how to handle this kind of waste is quite an undertaking. So our request perhaps to the author and to some of you is to perhaps entertain a delay for cities that are pursuing carts for compostables. We are piloting currently, I believe, in part of Senator Dibble's district right now. And what we really don't want to have to do is to do the work with the retailers and with everybody about we're switching to these new bags, and then a year or two later say, oh, now we're changing our minds again, we're going to use carts. We'd really like to make one movement from our current system now into the use of the carts. Now, I think later on you'll hear testimony from some of our contractors who actually do the debagging and say they do have a good product, and I think they do. But I think just the work with enforcement and the cost of educating both the consumers and the retailers, we'd really rather make one switch than put 120,000 households through that twice.
Mr. Willett, did the A1 amendment not take care of that cart concern?
I think that's maybe still in question. I think we'd like to consider that. But I think probably having a more specific amendment about, at least that's what it would be our wish, and perhaps we'll work with some members and the author on this. We're having discussions with the House author as well, that basically outlines that if you are a city are pursuing a cart, you may have till a later date to switch to the compostable bags.
Yeah, I didn't hear that the intent of the bill was to eliminate or affect carts. I think that's a good thing. It was just with reference to when plastic bags are used, what type.
That's correct, sir. But through the chair, I think what we would rather do than ask our citizens to switch to the compostable bags, that we would slowly, in parts of the city, move them to a cart system. There isn't a problem with the carts. That's where we are headed. We're trying to get out of the plastic bag business. However, we're trying to go directly from plastic bags into a cart system so we don't have to take the interim step of using the compostable bags.
I think I see what you're saying. Minneapolis has a debagging system, and so even if it is a plastic non-biodegradable bag in the cart, it will be eventually debagged.
Yeah, let me start over.
In Minneapolis.
Currently, we use plastic bags, and under this, if this was to pass, we would no longer be able to use them. But instead of using bags at all, we would rather have our residents putting their compostables into a cart directly with no bag at all, which is what some cities do now around the country. If we do that, then we don't have to move interim step into the compostable bag and can move directly into the a cart system where no bags will be used.
Mr. Knopf, what's your reading of the language given Mr. Willett's concern?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was wondering about the amendment on line 1.3, where it says "and not removed from." It says any bag or container containing, any bag containing yard waste delivered to and not removed from a yard waste composting facility would be prohibited. And it sounds to me that if you debag the waste and remove the bags, that you wouldn't be in violation of this under their current practice.
Mr. Ouellette?
If that, in fact, is the case, then we don't have any problem with the bill at all.
All right.
But I don't know if that it gets to the intention of the author and some of the folks as well.
I think it will. I thought I heard that it did. But take a look at that A1. Sounds like from Mr. Knopf that you should be taken care of. Your concerns should be taken care of. And we don't want to inhibit Minneapolis's sound practices. And you've really been a leader in this, so we don't want to do that. But it sounds like Senator Olsen was hip to that and made that provision in his amendment. Take a look at it, and if they're, you know, take it back to your environmental people, and if it continues to be a concern, then let Senator Olsen know. But it sounds like it was taken care of with the amendment. Senator Dibble, did you have a response on this question?
No, I think the "and not removed from" might be the key four words that allow Minneapolis to continue its present practice, because the yard waste, as Mr. Ouellette described, is taken to another site, debagged, and then brought to the compost facility. And I don't think anything in the language would prohibit then Minneapolis from moving to the cart-only system over time. Right. So we might be okay.
Yeah. Senator Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm trying to picture the carts. Are they, and I'm just not following how the cart system works, so just step back a second here. Are these carts at people's homes?
Mm-hmm.
So you want them to put all their leaves in at their homes, and so they never even go to a compost site anymore? Is that the idea under your new system?
No, they go,
Mr. Ouellette.
Mr. Chair, Senator, actually, we do try to educate our citizens to compost as much in a bin, a compost bin that doesn't move anywhere, at their homes as possible. However, with a fully forested old city, residents just don't have enough space to compost all the compostables. I mean, I think I feel in my part of Minneapolis, we still have a lot of mature trees and probably 40 bags every fall. I mean, it's a ton. So what we would do is you can compost in a bin at home as much as you can. What you can't, you put in a cart, and just like your garbage, would be picked up probably every 2 weeks or every week, depending on the season.
So, Mr. Chair,
Anderson.
Mr. Ouellette, so for most of those homeowners, they really wouldn't be driving to the compost site with their leaves.
No, Minneapolis has curbside pickup of compostables.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure I understood. That's what I thought you were talking about. But then, you know, this really isn't going to affect anyone in Minneapolis for the most part once you have that system in place.
If there is a community, what the bill is saying is that if there is a community that does not do that extra step of debagging their compost from these carts, that those bags that are put in a compost-type cart should be biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to, we want to make sure there's an exception for those communities that go the extra step. Further questions for the witness? Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Do you have another witness, Senator?
Mr. Chair, I do, and it's Greg. And there again, I'm having trouble with his last name. I didn't write it down too well, but he's with Organic Technology.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Greg Austin, and I'm president of Organic Technologies, and we are a processor of yard waste in the Minneapolis market. We actually are based out of Blaine. We have a transfer facility in Minneapolis. We handle private area haulers such as Ace Solid Waste, Randy Sanitation, Aspen, MPH, Allied, even for her larger hauler. We are also partners on the Minneapolis yard waste contract, so we take all the material that was just spoken about. We take the material on site at Minneapolis, and it comes in on compactor trucks like you would receive garbage in, and that's where the bags are located in the trucks, compacted, dumped on our site. And we receive approximately 52 or more thousand tons per year. And that material is debagged on site. It is removed from the plastic bags. We do that by use of a workforce to ensure that contamination is picked out of the product, and contamination can be anything from the plastic bags. Some of the pieces do end up going into the material, so we try to grab that out. But otherwise, the material, when it's removed from the bags, the plastic bags flow through to the end, and some of them have a little bit of leave material in them. So these workers shake this material out. And the workforce we use is a nonprofit community group from North Minneapolis called Emerge Community Reinvestment, and they are offering second chance jobs for individuals who have criminal pasts or otherwise. We employ 10 to 15 workers throughout the season, and they receive 40 hours, and at some points we go upwards of 60 hours per week. The material, once it's debagged, is loaded into trucks, and it's brought out to some of the sites, he was just discussing Dakota County, where they're not, Dakota and Scott County, where they're not, bags are not allowed. So we actually do all the work on site in Minneapolis. And the material is then composted and screened out after it's finished. And I just want to mention that we find other materials in this product, such as gardening equipment, rakes, hoses. We find clothing, DVD players, tires, crankshafts. I can go on and on. But we receive a lot of material, so it requires a lot of people
sorting,
picking stuff out. And we employ these workers, and this gives them, you know, a job, a green job, to remove that material. That material will also go into the compost, and you eventually screen the compost. So I know that you saw a bucket full of a bunch of plastic, and that can be screened out by every process that is used. They screen half-inch screens, and that would be removed, because you'd have to get out the batteries, you have to get out everything over a half inch. So the product ends up looking like the other bag you saw, even if it starts out like that plastic bag.
Exactly.
We strive for less than 1% contamination, and we have done other testing in which we have ground bags to see if that would work. We're looking at alternatives to this, but I guess what we are trying to do is we like compostable bags. We think it's a great idea. We just think that it should happen in phases, because you're still going to have material inside of it that's going to have to be picked out. And with our contract with the city of Minneapolis, we have a concern that the contract would be canceled if bags were not, if they weren't able to educate people quick enough. And we want to have compostable bags, but we also want to employ these people and have our own jobs. And I guess just to sum this up, we just think that municipalities such as Minneapolis should be allowed to have a phase-in of this, so that the material can transition over into plastic, compostable plastic bags, but at the same time allow us to debag the plastic on-site in Minneapolis, or, and this is something that wasn't mentioned before, transfer the bags to another site to be debagged in case of large flows of material, because we don't want to have material coming, you know, going through the ceiling. And I can tell you that some weeks we receive upwards of 9 million pounds of leaves per day. Or per week, excuse me. 3 million pounds one day we received in the fall. And the volumes of leaves are astronomical, so we need to move it off-site. And this is something that we need to ask of you to allow us to still continue to debag until the automated process can work.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure if you were, thank you, Mr. Austin. The previous conversation with Mr. Ouellette, I think we had talked about this issue a bit. It doesn't sound like Minneapolis is interested in ending their debagging process, and it doesn't sound like the bill as amended. If you remember, there was an A1 amendment that passed at the beginning of the hearing that addressed certain concerns, and this was one of them. So it's not saying that Minneapolis, the bill no longer says or intimates that Minneapolis would have to stop their debagging in favor of plastic biodegradable bags, and that was a concern that was raised by the city, and we discussed with council as to whether the language as amended satisfied the concern, and they indicated that it is yes. But we'll take an additional look at it just to double check. But I think the sense of the author as well as the committee is that, you know, no, we don't want to affect the good efforts of cities like Minneapolis that are doing that debagging. It's an important process.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that
material
would be able to be moved to another location.
Right.
I just didn't want to have
right.
this run into our operation.
Yeah, yeah, and you mean that the A1 amendment may not have been passed out to the audience widely. If there may be a copy there, if not, we'll make sure that you have it. Maybe Mr. Ouellette can share that with you. It's on the line on line three, where it provides that exception. And I think that was aimed at your concern. But take a closer look at it, study it. If there's still concerns, Senator Olsen appears to be very willing and open to work with potential concerns, if there are any more that crop up. Senator Vickerman.
I know your talk is a seven-county metro area, but when I look at the prohibition, prohibits manufacture and import of plastic bags for sale in Minnesota. Am I reading that right or not? Subdivision 1. Does that
Section
mean
two.
That's the whole state then?
Mr.
That gets a little bit more serious than the seven-county metro area, if you ask me.
Mr. Knopf, what's your understanding?
Mr. Chair and Senator Vickerman, yeah, that is a statewide prohibition, but this is a little bit different. Section 1, you're talking about the yard waste prohibition delivered in a non-compostable bag. But here what you're talking about is just that they can't advertise it as being compostable or biodegradable unless they meet those ASTM standards. So it's a little bit different. This is more of a truth in advertising when you're selling the bags. It's similar. We have other prohibitions in the same chapter 325E on plastic container labeling and prohibiting certain plastic cans, things like that. So this isn't that much different from those, but it does basically would be a kind of a truth in advertising. Either if you have to meet the standards to advertise that way.
So it does not. The bill does not prohibit the use of bags in any way outside of the metro area. It simply says that statewide, including Greater Minnesota, a bag that says it's compostable, biodegradable, or degradable has to meet these ASTM standards.
I'm not against
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. I just want to be sure that I can explain. Oh,
it's important to clarify. Did you have any more witnesses, Senator?
No, sir.
Who else did we have that wanted to? Was there a Chuck Joswiak here?
Yes.
From Windscapes? Did you want to testify?
Sure.
Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the committee.
My name is Chuck Joswiak. I'm with a company called Windscapes, based here in the Twin Cities. We're located in Inver Grove Heights. And I am actually an end user of this composted yard waste material. And why I'm here today is because I feel that it's very important to get the plastic out of the waste stream to bring a product to market that we can all use here. Just to give you a brief overview of our company, we started back in the year 2000, and we actually probably only used a couple hundred cubic yards of compost material that first year that we started in this industry. We were also one of five companies who got together with five other companies based across the United States and one in Canada that started a company called Filtrex International. And this company was to kind of develop markets for compost uses with Rod Tyler. And we were recently in 2006 awarded the Best Environmental Technology Award. Some of the people that use our composted products are engineers, the DOT, municipalities, watershed districts, residential homeowners, and whole list of other people that use these products. And we've worked on projects anywhere from Des Moines to Grand Marais all the way over to Chicago using locally made composted products here. Some of the products that we use and technologies that we're trying to develop are seeding and top dressing, using composted materials on athletic fields, golf courses, residential lawns, municipal roadways. We've recently done projects on Lake of the Isles using 1,700 cubic yards of compost material. The cities, St. Michael, Hennepin County, have a couple of projects that are coming up that will use in excess of 1,500 cubic yards of compost material. Probably some of the biggest technology that we've worked with over the years has been stormwater management, using composted yard waste. Erosion control is another big one, and I think these will be eventually big uses of this end product. Rain gardens, green roofs, living walls, landscaping, all uses of compost materials. Now, the reason I bring this up is because when you go out onto a site and you see little one-inch pieces of plastic scattered around the site after these processes have been installed, a lot of the public perception is we're littering all over the environment. It's going into our rivers, lakes, and streams. And I think it's very important that we get that plastic out at the beginning of the process. If anybody's ever been to a compost facility, I think the pictures kind of did it justice. There tends to be a lot of plastic swirling around on the site, and that's either going to leave the site by wind or erosion or trucks hauling it off and using it on different projects. And I think that Filtrex International for us has grown to about 130 team members across the United States, Canada. We're into Japan, New Zealand. And all in all, together, we have diverted about 450,000 cubic yards of compost material from landfills on our projects. So I think it's very important that we continue to push for a product that is clean so we don't turn around and litter again into the environment.
That's funny.
Okay. Questions for the witness? I don't have anyone else who would like to testify, and I'm not seeing any further discussion. If there isn't, we can take a motion. Senator Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move the bill as amended, be recommended to pass. And where's the next step, Chief Tashiri?
Business, industry, and jobs is what I've been told. All right. Senator Anderson moves that Senate File 383 be as amended, be recommended to pass, and be referred to the Committee on Business, Industry, and Jobs. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And no further business before the committee. Committee's adjourned.
There Chair members, thank you.
For telling me. Couldn't have done it without you.
But she must have, there's a.
I can't explain. I can't explain what the bill was out here.